When he takes office in a couple of months, Donald Trump won't be the only newbie to the federal government. So will a fair number of members of the House and Senate. They'll also have new jobs to learn before they get to take part in oversight of your agency. Joining me to explain how they get educated fast, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkings. And David, I guess that's the overlooked phenomenon that's going on right now in Washington with all the focus on Trump. There are a lot of freshman members.
That's right. There's transition going on all over the government. Although, interestingly, for those who think this was an enormous change election, it actually wasn't as big a change in Congress as it normally is. Actually, there'd be the smallest freshman class of senators in a quarter century, just 7 new senators coming in, and only 53 new House members, were the smallest class in about a dozen years. Now, to be sure, 53 is about 12% of the House that will be new. So those who talk about term limits, I always like to point out that, you know, the House generally turns over at least that much every 2 years, and kind of tends to, while some members do stick around for decades and decades, the House regenerates itself in a significant way.
Now, what happens to those freshmen when they get to town? First of all, when do they get to town? And they can't be seated until really the next Congress, so they're not part of the lame duck.
That's right. They are not part of the lame duck legislatively, but they are part of the other events that are happening this week, which is the organization of the new Congress. House members flew into town on Monday. Their indoctrination begins at a relatively slow pace. There's a lunch on Tuesday and the official class photograph, which always gets printed in every newspaper. And then their meetings to learn the sort of bureaucratic procedures of Congress, how to make a budget, what the ethics rules are, how many people they can employ, how they travel, the mechanics of how they vote, et cetera, et cetera. That all doesn't start till the middle of the week. Then they go home for Thanksgiving and come back after Thanksgiving for more of that. The senators, it's a much less formalized procedure. One senator, Cory Gardner, Republican of Colorado, who was in the House and then moved to the Senate 2 years ago, said it was, they just do trust falls. It's sort of an encounter group where the group of them sit around with their elders and sort of discuss the vagaries of the Senate. But that's sort of a joke. They also learn plenty of the bureaucracies and the rules, the arcana, the traditions, the customs of the Senate as well.
And you mentioned a couple of interesting members. There's one, Charlie Crist from Florida, who was governor, is now a member of Congress. It's hard to tell whether that's a going up or going down in stature.
That's right. He is actually the governor of Florida as a Republican. Now he is a freshman member of the House as a Democrat. He actually defeated a Republican incumbent in the St. Petersburg, the Tampa Bay area of Florida. Actually, Florida has 27 seats in the House. 10 of them will be filled by freshmen this year. So, you know, 1/5 of the freshman class in Congress comes from Florida. Charlie Crist, actually, just a little bit of trivia here, is not the only governor who's a House member. There's actually Mark Sanford from South Carolina, who had sort of some famous personal issues that got him on the cover of the tabloids. He came back to the House after leaving the House 10 years ago to go be governor, where he had kind of a rocky time.
And among those going from the House to the Senate, probably one of the most prominent is Chris Van Hollen, who had a pretty senior leadership area in the House. What will his stature be in the Senate as a brand new freshman and the junior member?
Terrific.
From Maryland.
Terrific question. He is right. It was a political gamble for Chris Van Hollen, of course, to trade in a position of power, not only as the top Democrat on the budget committee, but a former chairman of the Democratic political operation in the House, seen as a potential future member of the leadership. But of course, as people may be aware, the Democratic leadership has not turned over at all in several elections now. All of the Democratic leaders are in their 70s and don't, at least as we were talking this morning, don't seem ready to hang up their spurs. So Chris Van Hollen decided to move to the Senate. I guess he hoped he'd be in the majority, and it looked for a while like he might be. Instead, he is, right, a junior member of the minority party. So he will rank very, very low in seniority. And while the Senate is structured so that every senator has a certain amount of power, and the power to delay legislation and the power to speak and lots of powers, he doesn't have, he won't get the choice of the top committees this time. He won't get his, probably too many people won't be paying attention to him. And if he follows tradition, senators are actually not supposed to speak on the floor for a while. They're supposed to sort of signal that they are willing to learn from the institution rather than be a part of it for at least a few months. So we might not hear too much from Chris Van Hollen, which will be new for people in our area because he was one of the more press-savvy members of the House.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call, and there are some children of members and other politicians that have come into their own.
That's right. Congress is filled with members of little political dynasties, and this time there are two new tiny dynasties in the making, the children of two former secretaries of defense who were both former members of Congress have come back. Leon Panetta's son, Jimmy Panetta. Leon Panetta, of course, was defense secretary, CIA chief, White House chief of staff, and budget director. But before he was any of those things, he represented the Central Coast of California in the House back in the 70s and 80s. His son, Jimmy, will now come and take that California House seat. There, he's Democrat. And, of course, Vice President Dick Cheney's daughter, Lynn Cheney, in the 70s and 80s, was Wyoming's only House member, and now Lynn Cheney will be as well.
And for federal managers, the makeup of the committees matters a lot because if there's oversight, that's where it comes from. And how do new members get their committee assignments?
That is, there is an alchemy, a tough alchemy involved there. Many of the smarter new members will already be trying to think realistically about where they might fit in the best and where they might have the best chance of getting on a committee. Every new member, of course, would love to be tapped for the Ways and Means Committee, say, which writes tax policy and also health policy, two things that are going to be front and center once again in the Trump administration. But very, very few freshmen, if any, get on the Ways and Means Committee. So they will be trying to lobby their elders, the leaders of their party caucus, for seats that might be a better fit. If they have a military base in their district, they might want on armed services. If they have an enormous university with scientific research, they might want on the science committee. If they have a large number of veterans, the veterans committee, farm districts, the ag committee, and so on and so on. It's tough work for the leadership to try and find the right committees for the right people. To be blunt about it, the people, the new members who have the most politically difficult challenges going into 2018, and yes, we're already talking about the 2018 election, in addition to getting help with fundraising, which they'll also begin almost right away. Generally, the leadership gives the best committee assignments to the members who they think need help in order to hold on to their seats 2 years down the road.
And as a rookie congressman, like a rookie baseball player, you really can't talk to the stars until they talk to you. Or can someone go up to, you know, Paul Ryan or Nancy Pelosi and say, hey, how you doing? Can you help me with this?
That's a great analogy. I would say there is a little bit of that. But it is also the case that, unlike with your baseball description, the stars also need the rookies. So Paul Ryan will need the help of, name your new Republican freshman soon enough. That he will need that member's vote, and he'll need that member's vote starting this week to be renominated for Speaker. That's the other thing that's happening this week, is that all four groups, the House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, are all getting together, new members included, to pick their leadership for the next 2 years. So already Paul Ryan will be very, very friendly to the new members, even some that he might not have met, probably met most of them, to say, I sure hope you'll support me for Speaker.
David Hawkings is senior editor at Roll Call. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
And we'll link to his column, and you can find this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.